It is Sunday. What day is it? April 14th.
You don't know what day it is?
I do now, man. But I've been out and about, man. I've been in the Caribbean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Lamping.
I've been shoveling snow, man.
Ah, sucks for you.
I'm a crab in a bucket. I want to pull you down for being in the Caribbean.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Quit being a crab, man.
I eat crabs.
I eat lobsters.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, man. What did I miss? I imagine I missed a lot of tyranny. I mean, there's only so much, or there's always so much tyranny inside of a week. What'd I miss?
I don't know. I didn't pay much attention to the tyranny.
Oh,
I've been avoiding
it. Okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I've been just dealing with my own stuff, man. I've just been dealing with preparing to get the fiends on radio.
I guess the first headline I saw on the way back, because we left port in New Orleans, or Nolens, however you want to call it, and on the way back, I saw USA Today, and the headline was like, progress on gun control bill. And I was like,
progress.
How do you call that progress?
I know.
That's biased in your headline, folks.
Yeah.
And then I read it, and it was like something about universal background checks, and I was like, man, don't they already have background checks? I mean, what is this? This is like what Ben was saying, that they'll talk a big game and they'll come away with some small thing that makes you slightly less free, and that'll be all about all the hubbub is.
That's so square, man.
So square.
So square. Yeah,
man. But yeah, man, I went to Mexico, and
Mexico,
at least the parts I went in the Yucatan, man, it was chill. It was so much chiller than the U.S. I think I'm seeing what Jesse Ventura sees in Mexico and all the people. Who's that other guy? The guy who wrote Naked in Austin? He writes for Lou Rockwell. He's really awesome at writing. I can't remember his name right now. But he lives in Mexico too, man. And yeah, it's just chill, and everybody is all into commerce and sans the state. Like, there's negotiating. Like, you negotiate with people when you want to buy something. You know, it's not like Merca, where everything's like a set price or like 50% off, you know, but they raise the price in the first place by double so that they're still making bank. You know, it was a wonderful thing. And, oh, we rented a scooter. I finally got to ride on a scooter, and I didn't have to take a safety class or have a motorcycle license. I was all just like, hey, can I rent that scooter? And the dude was all like, you ever ridden a scooter? And I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, whatever. Here you go. Yeah, man. It was wonderful and freeing. And and dudes who want to start a business in Mexico, apparently, like, they just do it. They don't ask permission. We saw a dude on a moped, and he had built a mini bar into the front of the moped, and he was riding around on the moped, and he's like a mobile beverage server, and he just ride on the moped up to people and be like, you want a drink? Oh, man, Mexico, man. Yeah.
That seems to be the situation with a lot of, I don't know, second world countries. I don't know what they're called, but you know, places that aren't as developed as America and a lot of Europe. Like, I have a friend, is an old girlfriend of mine. It was actually like one of my first girlfriends when I was like 15 or something, who I still talk to, who lives in South America somewhere, in one of those countries that's like considered, you know, horrible. One of the cocaine producing countries where, you know, the military are all on the take and murder people for people. Name some of those countries and I'll tell you.
Colombia.
It's the one where they speak Portuguese. Which one is that? Brazil.
Brazil.
She lives in Brazil. And she said, you know, on the surface, on the books, on the law, there's less freedom there. But in reality, there's more freedom there.
Is it because there's less goons and less money to pay goons and less of a big state apparatus?
Yes.
Or is it also because people care less about the state and buy the line that the state is their protector and the good guys? Because I think that's the main problem in Merca, is people grow up thinking that prosecutors and cops are good guys and valiant, and so they put their trust in them, and they love them even as the cops are beating them, even as the cops are putting the handcuffs on. You know, I have this image in my mind of the prisoner who's in jail just thinking, oh, I done did wrong.
Well,
you know, but he didn't.
There's a video that's very telling that I'm pretty sure was in Brazil it's a soccer game in a stadium, you know, with like 80,000 people or something. And some really hyped up fan runs out on the field. People do that sometimes. I've seen them do it at concerts. Yeah. I've seen them do it, you know, they run out where the performers are supposed to be, the athletes, whatever, where the people in the stands are not allowed just because they can, like, or just because they can't actually, they run, you know, he was going to run across the field. I think he was waving his team's banner or something. And three or four cops ran out and tackled him and started to handcuff him. And like 80 or 100 people poured out of the stands and started beating the cops. That would never happen in America. You know, they'd be just like,
no.
And actually somebody posted that as a blog post with a contrast in America. It was a video of some guy at a baseball game in America, you know, in the lobby or in the hallway, who was drunk and obnoxious, but not hurting anybody, just like screaming. And, you know, I don't know what he did, but he was screaming and being a boisterous drunken fan, and some cops tackled him. And there's like 100 people in a circle watching it. Like, and some of them filming with their camera, but I think
smart
they're
phones
like,
on.
I think they're like not cop blocking. I think they're filming to like show their friends and be like, hey, this was cool. Check it out. You know, there was like not a peep from, nobody was yelling, hey, you come down Monday morning and I'll give you an honest job selling incense, you know?
Right. Yeah. Maybe it's a, you know, TV in Latin America. Maybe they don't glorify, maybe they don't have CSI Mexico City, you know, maybe they don't have a bunch of shows that glorify cops and stuff. Maybe that's part of it. I don't watch a lot of the Spanish channel. I used to when I had TV, because it's just funny to watch Sabado Gigante and laugh at the girls with the big boobs and the old guy next to them.
Well, like,
what is it? El Gordo y la Flaca, the fat and the skinny. We used to have promo posters for that at the CBS affiliate I was working for back in the day.
Well, another issue probably is that in a lot of those countries, the cops are really, really corrupt. I mean, here, I mean, I think all cops are corrupt by nature for being cops. But even if you think there's good cops and bad cops, in those countries, almost all the cops are bad cops. You know, they're, because drugs are illegal and they're imported to here and there's a demand for them, the cartels have largely bought off all the cops. And, you know, those are the kind of places where, like, if someone steals your stuff, nobody calls the cops. Not because they're not statist, but because they know there's nothing to be gained from calling the cops. And more often even than here, the cops, if you call them, will show up and steal more of your stuff, or, you know, try to get you to bribe them to try to solve, you know, find the person who took it. Basically, they'll probably be like, yeah, we know who did it. We can get your stuff back. You know, give us half what the stuff's worth and we'll get it back for you because we stole it anyway.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, well, I definitely buy that, you know, cops are corrupted by nature. They're not professionals. Everything they do is funded by stolen money. Yeah, but the cops in Progreso, that was the first port we went to.
Progreso. That's where all the Democrats should get the hell out to. Get out of America and go to Progreso.
That they're just a little more progresso than
progresso.
Us.
Yeah.
And but the cops there, man, because we took a bus from the actual port into this like all-inclusive resort, and where we, you know, lamped and chilled and played on the beach and kayaked and all that. But
now,
what
is lamping for those who don't know?
It's like chilling. It's another word for chilling. Yeah, or maybe it's because it's, you know, sitting under the shade, you know, like a lamp does. I don't know the etymology of it, but Frank uses it a lot, and so I've picked it up, lamping. But on the way there, we passed two police checkpoints, and it sounds kind of boo, but it seemed to me like the way it worked there, at least, was they don't have cops hiding out with radar guns waiting to catch you, you know, like spiders in their web, like predators. Instead, they had two checkpoints on this like 40-mile stretch, and the cops were just sitting there having a siesta. Like, they were like making hot dogs and pouring Coca-Cola and just chilling. And there were signs like ahead of time saying, watch your speed, checkpoint coming up. So you can speed all the way and then slow down right before the checkpoint. And then we waved at the cops and they like held up a hot dog and were like, sí, es muy bien.
Here it's illegal to hold up a sign that says speed trap ahead.
Or have an app. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Worms and worms. Fiends. This is the Mexican scrutinizer. So sleepy. Call back later.
A bit of the old fiend and worm.
Fiend and worm. Ah, yes, yeah. Fiends and worms. Yeah.
Fiends, yes. And worms. Worms, what, buddy. What? Worms.
Hey, buddy.
So, people say, if you don't love America, then get out. You got out for a while.
Yeah.
You love America, but you got out. So what do you think? You think you could live there?
Love Merca. I don't love the Merkin government, if that's what you mean. I don't know, man. Love, do you love places? I love some people. I love lots of people in Merca. I love fiends. I love the fiend fans.
Do you love me?
I love hamburgers. I love you.
I kind of like...
I don't love apple pie, man. Apple pie sucks.
I don't really love baseball. I went to a baseball game once at Candlestick Park in San Francisco and watched the Oakland A's get their butt handed to them by Houston. It was the most boring thing in the world. But I was recently sober too, and I went with some guys from the rooms, and it reminded me there's a Simpsons where Homer quits drinking for 30 days, and he goes to a baseball game, and he's like, I never realized how boring this sport is. You know, it's kind of like I saw the Grateful Dead 9 times, 8 times I was tripping, 8 times they were great, 1 time they were really kind of boring, but.
Yeah. I've been to a few baseball games, and that's my experience too. The fun is in the booze and the pretzels, and getting to cheer every now and then. You know, it's kind of a nice little storyline to be able to, you know, cheer every now and then. But as far as it by itself, nah, man, baseball's not my thing. I do love a good game of football though, and that is an American sport.
But back to the state, and we don't love it.
See,
you know, if there's going to be a government, which you can't even say that to some anarchists because they're like, I don't accept any government. In my theoretical libpair, there's no government. I'm like, well, yeah, but there are governments and we're not at libpair yet. And, you know, if there's going to be a government, I think I'd rather have one that waves me through and smiles and waves hot dogs at me than one that, you know, pulls me over and has a dog tear my car apart while I'm face down on the sidewalk for the same action.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's awful stuff in Mexico too, I'm sure. You know, I wasn't in the bad parts. You know, I've been to Nuevo Laredo before, you know, 10 years ago in my college days, and that was a little worse. But yeah, man, on the coast of the Yucatan, it was nice. You know, there were a few federales at the port with their not AKs. I guess they had M4s or M16s, man. But they were just sitting there, and right next to them, it was hilarious. Right next to the dudes in full camo with their assault rifles was a mariachi band.
Wow.
It was like, welcome to Mexico. Well, dudes AKs with assault rifles,
Tejano,
and dudes with giant guitars. Exactly.
Mexicano, yeah.
Mexicanos.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it wasn't like Tejano. There was no accordion. It was it was horns and some guitars.
I looked up Tejano and read the history of it. And Tejano, you've used that word, and I actually discovered when I was looking through radio stations, getting us up to 970 talk radio stations that we have contact info for, a lot of them I looked from a lot of different lists and just kept looking things up and looking at radio stations. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about how horrible most of their websites are. One of them actually had their, you know, and it was like a 5,000 watt station, which isn't a major corporate big station, but it's a station that covers like more than a city. You know, 5,000 watts is decent. And, you know, a 5,000 watt station can support a staff of like 8 people or 10 people. You know, it's a company. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing. And there was a station that was 5,000 watts that actually, their website was actually on freewebs.com. Their web address was like, you know, wjwk.freewebs.com. And there was a big banner at the top that said, get your own website at freewebs.com. Like, these people won't even pay 10 bucks a year for a domain name, you know?
Right, and hires some college intern
to do it for
a community college intern to design the website. Yeah.
It was amazing. And you know, a lot of them have like 8 pop-up browsers that play all their shows at once and crash your computer. But the really interesting and telling thing for me was I was looking at a list from 5 years ago, and it was part of the list was conservative talk show radio stations, and part of it was progressive radio station, talk show radio stations. And from this list from 5 years ago, about 80% of the conservative talk radio stations are still doing conservative talk radio. Only about 15 or 20% of the progressive ones are still doing that. And the rest of them are like Tejano or Jesus or sports only. And I mean, I don't think there's a vast right-wing conspiracy. I don't really like conservatives or liberals, but I will say this: conservatives do right-wing do talk radio a lot better than liberals.
Do you think there's demographic influences or causes as well? I mean, people tend to think of people who listen to conservative talk radio as older and probably don't know how to work the interwebs as well.
That's
so
probably
they probably listen to the radio more than your average progressive hipster in sunglasses.
Yeah,
and
the progressive hipster listens to the NPR and MSNBC podcast on his Chrome robot turd.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I would imagine.
Someone said Michael is praising the radio's web savvy. Man, Mango, this is awesome. He speaks better English and punctuates better than most Americans, but you know, that is
kudos to you, Mango.
You know, that's what you get in a socialist Scandinavian school system. They take all your money and they actually give you an education, whereas here they take most of your money and teach you how to vote, and you still can't add.
Well, there's a lot of talk on the chat room too about government. Is good government better than bad government, etc. And I guess the thing is, Ben has brought up the point that you don't really get a situation where we can get rid of the government or get rid of the state, which I guess is the most important part, until the state reaches its fullness of, you know, raiding people for milk and raiding Amish pacifists and throwing people in jail for ridiculous things, which they're starting and doing. And different governments have done that, you know, within the 20th century.
Well, that's basically saying, you know, I know people who thought Obama was basically the Antichrist and he was going to do everything that he's actually doing. But I know people who hated him, who voted for him because they wanted to speed up the decline so the slate could be wiped clean a la Fight Club and there would be a libertarian paradise springing out of the American rifle culture. You know, I just think, I don't know, given the choice, I think I'd rather move somewhere where the state waves hot dogs at you and smiles. And, you know, I mean, like, the gun laws are horrible in Mexico. You know, you have to be a citizen to have a gun, and you can only have a 22, and you have to jump through paper hoops to get it. But you could probably just bribe the local cops to let you keep your guns, whereas in New York State, you'd bribe them, they'd take your money, and then they'd throw you in prison anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the other thing, too, is, you know, it's important to differentiate what makes a government a government, and I think, and what makes the state a state.
Yeah.
I think the horribleness is not a group of people making decisions. It's a group of people being the monopoly decision makers. That's really the nut of it. Like, I was on a cruise ship, right? So a major cruise line, and before I left, I was thinking about it a little bit, and I was like, well, maybe it'll be like a lip pair, you know, like in a Tiny Anarchy. We're going to be in international waters. There'll be no state body. But I was wrong because it's a monopoly. You're on a boat. You're literally a captive audience. There's no, if you don't like the cruise ship, you can get out.
You're a captive.
Because out out is the sea.
These shark-infested waters you couldn't swim right. back to land from. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And so I'd like to discuss that in a little bit more depth once we get back from the market.
Ah, yes, we're going to go to the market. Good use of the phraseology.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
I think all brown people look
racist.
The same, Nima, and that looks
That's
like you.
Racist. I think all Irishmen look the same. All I see is freckles and red.
I'm not red, man.
That's
Speaking
racist.
Of red, I know you want to talk about the state, but I want to talk about Bill Burr. Speaking of red-headed stepchildren. Yeah.
Okay. Bill Burr less than Louis.
Yeah.
But you like Bill Burr,
I like
and
Bill
you
Burr
sent
better,
me some
man.
Clips.
I like
you do
I like better.
Well,
yeah,
I don't even think you've listened to Louis C.K.
I have. Bill Burr is almost libertarian. He's a gun guy. He hates the federal government. He hates people who are so stupid they think there's a difference between Democrats and Republican. He likes Ron Paul, and he talks about how the money is not backed by gold, and that's a problem. What has Louis C.K. done for me lately?
Okay, fair enough. I guess that sticks with your whole paradigm of the only media worth consuming is liberty media, unless it's about cops. Because cops
is
get
that,
you wet.
Is that my theory? No, cops do not get me wet, and I'm having more and more problem enjoying cop shows. But
good, that's my goal.
I know.
I hope you can stop watching them one day.
You can be my cop show
drama.
Sponsor. No, I'd have to be someone that used to like them. But the thing is, so I like drama. I'm addicted to TV drama. I love it. And cop drama is usually some of the better writing and acting and directing and everything. Camera work, man. I really like the camera work in The Shield and Southland. Southland is kind of like The Shield, but even more realistic and better. I like it. Yeah. And in the latest episode, two cops get kidnapped at gunpoint by two meth heads and taken out in the desert. And you're like, how is our heroes going to get out of this? And then one of them gets shot and killed. And then it's a cliffhanger and... Man, I don't know, but I've been watching Archer. Archer is just getting better and better, and the animation is getting better and better.
Okay.
But Bill Burr. Well, let's talk about Mexico, and then we'll come back to Bill Burr.
Mexico.
Yeah, man. If you don't love America, get out. That's going to be the name of the episode today.
Go to Mexico. Yeah, got some Cubans, smoked some Cuban cigars on the boat. I actually brought one home with me. But here's the thing is... Customs on the way back from a cruise ship, I mean, it wasn't what you'd think it was. It wasn't like when we drove back from Mexico in my college days 10 years ago when we had a steering wheel that was duct taped shut because the airbag had deployed a few weeks earlier and they strip searched us and searched through our car. It wasn't like that at all. You get off the boat and there's just like this cattle line of people going through. And if you got a really good accent, then they just wave you on through. It was like our whole summer, you know.
What do you mean good accent? Texan or Mexican?
No, if you sound like a Merkin, if you sound like a good all Merkin boy, and you look like a tourist. You know, I had on my little hat that I bought in Mexico and my sunglasses that I bought in Mexico and like some little shorts and an old Navy shirt. So I was all touristed out, man. And yeah. I had the Cuban cigar in my mouth the whole time. I took off the band. So you know, it just was a generic cigar. I mean, because what are they going to do? DNA test the tobacco leaf? Like, well, this was grown in the soil of Havana. No. So yeah. I had the cigar in my mouth and I just walked by. And he just waved me on through, man. No deal. Didn't x-ray the bags, didn't search the room, didn't do nothing like that. I'm not giving you guys legal advice. I'm just saying that was my experience.
Well, you also
into America.
Did you not also get a doctor to prescribe you some drugs?
Yes. Oh man, Mexico. Man, Mexico is so much freaking freer. Okay, so here in Merca, where the government has completely ruined the healthcare thing, and then they're always like, well, let us fix this horrible healthcare system. You screwed it up, you retards. In Mexico, you literally it next to the gas station, there's La Farmacia, and they have all the drugs that modern medicine can provide, pretty much. You know, anything in a bottle, you just pull off the shelf. And you can ask them. I mean, they're not – maybe they'd be better if you spoke Spanish with them. I mean, they weren't, like, pitching it. They were like clerks at a gas station. Like you pick a pack of cigarettes. Like, oh, the Marlboro Reds. And they're like, these one? You know? And so we got some courses of Z-Pack because, you know, I haven't gotten sick in, like, 2 or 3 years. But about once a year still, my wife will get, like – strep or some kind of really bad sore throat or something like that, usually in the wintertime. And it's awful. You know, you experienced the government flu and you remember going to the doctors and how horrible it is. You know, and here we don't have insurance either. So you go, you pay $100 to one of these Ready Clinic people or, you know, whatever it is. I don't even know what the name of the one we went to was. And you give them $100 and they literally, you know, put a stethoscope up to your chest, look at your throat and then say, oh, well, we'll test you for strep. And if it's not strep, they don't give you anything. They don't give you antibiotics. They tell you, go home, take some ibuprofen. It's like, well, we've been doing that for a week, you know. And then in this last instance, you know, 2 days later, my wife was like 10 times worse. And so she had to call and beg. She had to beg for a prescription for antibiotics. As soon as she took the antibiotics, she was cured. So it was definitely an infection. You know, we don't have to go through that and spend $100 on the doctor, $100 on the meds and have to beg for a cure. In Mexico, you just point at the wall, say, oh, I'll take that, and they hand it to you. That's it.
You know,
need a prescription? You just say, can I get a prescription for this? The doctor says, see, and writes a little prescription.
The last few doctors that I've gone to here, and I do believe that this is some Obamacare kind of thing, have smelled cigarette smoke on me and taken me to task for being a smoker.
Yeah.
Like it's their business. Ugh. Like, no, I'm paying you to give me antibiotics, man. Shut up. But I went to this one doctor for this weird little skin bump I have to get it checked out. And it was non-cancerous. It was fine. And, you know, I paid cash. And the guy was really pleasant and didn't say – he asked if I smoked. And I said, yeah. And he just checked something out. He just kept going. He didn't even ask me. And he's a guy who mainly deals with military and police. He's an ex-Army doctor, and he's got a private practice here. And, you know, I had talked with Ben about this. The magazine on the table was Wyoming State Trooper Monthly, and he had all these commendations from the Army on the wall, and all this, like, we take, you know, military discount 5% extra, but off. But
think 5% extra, wouldn't that be great? No,
but think about this, like, that's a guy who deals with, you know, people with positions of authority all day, and it didn't even cross his mind to try to tell me what to do with my life. You know, and he was really nice with me, and he knew I didn't have lots of money, and he actually gave me the Medicare rate without being on Medicare, which isn't a scam thing. It means he's taking a hit, you know? So he was
that's what doctors used to do before, and some doctors still do. I've gone to shrinks before that were sliding scale and you know, way back in the day. And you can do that. You can search for sliding scale clinics for medicine too. And it's just people out of the goodness of their heart often that will give you a break on the price.
Well, when I lived in San Francisco, when I was sick, I would always go to a clinica. I would be the only white guy in the lobby, and there'd be a bunch of, you know, Mexican Americans and Mexicans in there with screaming babies. But they were pretty good at seeing you really quick and doing what you needed. And when I needed antibiotics, I would do that. And he would charge me like $25 for the doctor visit and write me a generic prescription. And altogether, it'd be like $50, which is not great. Yeah. It's cheaper in Mexico, but it's better than going to a regular doctor here where, you know, it's $180 for the doctor visit and they won't give you the generic. And They want to do a bunch of tests that you already know the answers to. I actually had a doctor in LA at a foot place. I had plantar warts or something. And what he recommended I do, because the medicine was really expensive, whatever he wanted to prescribe to me, he said, go down to Mexico and buy the medicine and then bring it up here and I'll tell you how to use it. That kind of blew my mind. But that's it blew my mind because that's how it would be in Libpaire. And being on the border of a state that has more freedom in a certain area is a bit of freedom. Like I know people in, what is it, Montana has, it's either Montana or South Dakota. One of them has no sales tax. I think it's South Dakota. So people in the upper right corner of Wyoming will do their grocery shopping in South Dakota. And I'm sure there's people in Wyoming going to Colorado for weed, and I'm sure there's people in Colorado going to be coming to Wyoming for guns. Now that
and Washington State, Oregon didn't have sales tax either, so people would go shopping in Oregon for certain things. You know, certain things that doesn't work because, like a car, you know, when you register it, they'll charge you. Washington will still charge you tax on it, so you can't go car shopping in Oregon.
Yeah,
but there are other things like that too, like cigarettes. Washington State, man, taxes the heck out of cigarettes. They were like $7-$8 a pack. And so people would go down to Oregon and buy cartons for way cheaper and bring them back.
Yeah, you know? And they can't really close all the loopholes. I mean, they can for bringing things back in, but not for like getting dental work done, which I've done in Mexico. It was done in a nail salon and it worked fine.
Loopholes are the holes which freedom breathes through. Without those, we would suffocate.
You bought drugs there. That's all. That's all we need to know about Mexico. So. Yeah. Nima's vacation, Mexico as Libpaire.
So I'm been call it Libpaire.
I'm talking.
The state is less annoying. I you know, there you go. Other than the cops at the checkpoints, I didn't see one cop. There wasn't a cop in the little touristy section, or none of that. You know, it was all just you know. And I didn't even see any security guards on the cruise ship. And there's like 2,000 people, 2,000 cruisers, and I think 1,000 about crew. And I don't think I saw one cop. I heard tell that there was a laundry brig or a brig, and I didn't go to it, luckily.
See, fear of the brig. That's all they need. They don't really need a
fear
cop.
Fear of the brig.
Yeah. So somebody was chiding us in the chat room saying that we were praising good government over bad government. That is not the case. You know, it's more like I'd rather be shoved than kicked in the balls and cut in the face.
Yeah, and it's okay to talk about that. I think it's okay to talk about how different places are different because people get so tunnel visioned, especially in, and I guess this is being hypocritical. It's almost oxymoronic for me to say this, but people get tunnel visioned living in America often, I think. And they think, you know, America, that's the only way it is. And everything out there is worse in every way. And, you know, that's just not true. And it's not a healthy mindset to have because there are countries where certain things are different. And if we can see how freedoms in other places make life better, then it's easier to argue with statists who say, well, okay, like with the prescription thing. You know, we did an episode about it almost a year ago now, I think. And some guy who worked somewhere in the medical field had said, well, you know, the worry is if everybody could buy antibiotics, then there'd be some kind of super bug and then we'd all die off because, you know, the bacteria or the virus or whatever the case is would evolve to work around the cure. But in Mexico, is there a superbug? I mean, I imagine there's a lot more countries than Mexico that have a system like that where you can just go in and buy antibiotics. Do any of those have a superbug? I mean, why would it be different in America? You know?
Here's what I think. I think that a tyrannical government as an idea of moving toward Libpaire of, you know, things have to get worse and worse and worse before they get better, that's good for statists. But if you're already there, you should try to make your life as less pokey by the government as you possibly can. And Paul Bonneau, right. I'm a big fan of Paul Bonneau, and so are you. He posted a comment on the interview I did with Mike Makes Right on the Gumbo that I also put on the Fiends feed this week. And he basically said he thinks that anarchists should be less concerned with getting to Libpaire and more concerned with just keeping the government out of their face. I kind of agree, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, once you get it, then I feel like your goal, or my goal at least, is to help other people get it, to plant the seeds, hope they see them, to give examples and to lead by example where I can. And talking about things like, hey, in Mexico, there's this freedom, this freedom, this freedom. And it was so much nicer. And the world didn't implode on itself because there was this extra freedom. And I can use that to tell statists or to tell budding libertarians, you know, because that's the thing, too, is more than anything, it's about getting the people from their minarchism or from their doubts about statism to the principled anarchy that we want them to have, right?
Yeah, and I've said, and I do maintain that, for instance, we had an episode called, you know, the longer pot's illegal, the more anarchists there will be, and I really believe that. But I mean, that's a kind of general statement. I have no desire for any person I know who's a statist to get arrested for pot so they'll become an anarchist. You know, God no.
But I think you're right in that. The goons and the fullness of the state, I think, as Ben puts it, that's there to let people know how horrible the state is. If you already know, why subject yourself to it, you know?
Yeah.
So enough about Mexico. Did you have other things you'd like to talk about? Well, or you can ask me more questions about Mexico. It was a wonderful place.
Well, it's a nice story, but I don't hear my name in it.
Yeah.
I like this other thing that Paul Bonneau said. I said on the interview with Mike that I thought there was never going to be another Republican president in America. You know, and it's not a, oh, this is horrible or this is great. It's just a fact because they teach you to, or it's just a strong opinion without any weight either way of opinion of what I think about it. You know, because they teach you to vote in school now. They don't teach you how to do math or add or survive or get a job or do a resume. They teach you how to vote, literally. That's pretty much what they teach in school. And they teach you that without the government, there'd be no roads and children would starve and work in whorehouses. And grandma would eat dog food and die. So they don't teach you anything but how to vote. And I think there would never be another Republican president. I really liked Paul's comment in the comment section on that. He said, how can you say that when we have one right now?
Ah.
You're saying Obama's a Republican president. Right. He pretty much is, man. I mean, he's, you know, I saw this incredible documentary that I really want to recommend. It's called The World According to Dick Cheney. And it's a Showtime documentary. Now, I came in about 10 minutes into it. It's like 2 hours long. I watched the whole thing. And it's really amazing because on the one hand, it basically strongly makes the case for there were no weapons of mass destruction. Cheney knew it. It strongly makes the case that Cheney was the power behind the throne and George W. Bush didn't know what the hell was going on. And Cheney was pulling all the strings from behind the curtain and that he was even hiding things from Bush. Like there was a situation where pre-Patriot Act, Cheney kind of wrote a proto-Patriot Act. Like he basically, the vice president gave the CIA the legal right to spy on all Americans' telephone calls. And it had to be renewed after a year. And when it was time to renew it, Cheney didn't even talk to Bush about it. He talked to lawyers at the Justice Department and tried to get them to write a paper on why to renew it. And like six lawyers at the Justice Department were like, no, this is wrong. They, you know, like they actually had some morals and said,
six lawyers who don't work there anymore.
They actually resigned. They resigned and they said in their resignation why they resigned and they were public about it. And Cheney was furious. Right. And he went to, you know, but he didn't tell Bush any of this, like all this stuff that's really important to the president. He was hiding from the president. And then finally, when they wouldn't do it and they resigned, he went to Bush and strong armed him. I don't know that Bush was resistant to the idea, but I don't think he understood the idea or knew where he was. And Cheney, you know, Cheney, who was an evil genius, basically strong armed him into getting the CIA to renew this thing. And just all these horrible things about Cheney. And there's, you know, clips of interviews of Cheney in it. And after about an hour and a half of it, I noticed, you know, wait, all these interviews of Cheney are from the same interview. He's wearing the same tie. He's wearing the same sweater. He's in the same room with my Wyoming mountains out the window. And then at the end of it, after saying all these horrible things about Chaney, it had this like 2 minutes of redemption at the end of the third act that showed Chaney and I guess two Secret Service guys in a boat fly fishing in some river in Wyoming and saying all these wonderful things about him, about how he'll be remembered in history. And then the credits roll. And I was like, was Chaney in on this? Oh my God. You know, cause I know that he's the kind of guy
as a don't F with me kind of a
thing.
Yeah,
man. And then, and then they went to commercial and then they came back and had a 5 minute thing of the making of The World According to Dick Chaney. And they interviewed the filmmaker, the producer, and Dick Chaney. Dick Chaney totally co-signed all this and participated in it. And he's the kind of guy that would never, ever do something like that without having, you know, final cut approval. So, basically, it's Dick Cheney's hagiography, his, you know, celebration of the saints that he made or was involved with, basically saying he was an evil MF and he ran the world from behind the throne and he did what he wanted and he made crap up because he wanted to do this and wanted to invade that. And well,
it's the libido dominandi,
oh,
isn't
man.
It? The biggest thing is how much he lusted after that power. And this is his flick. This is the porno of it, right?
It was amazing, I mean, man. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen someone who is a politician co-signing something that basically says, I was a lying MF and I was pulling all the strings and manipulating everyone. And that's how history should remember me. Thank you.
Well,
good night.
Sense.
Drop the mic, you know?
It makes sense to me because if you get off on that, if you have that libido dominante, I mean, it's like your kink. And people who are into other kink, they'll brag about, you know, tranny hookers and naughty nurses and shooting crocodile, you know? I mean, because that's just like how they get off. And they're like, yeah, man, and it, as depraved as they can be. I mean, he's got no principles, no morals. He just wants power, and he had it. He, like you said, he ran the world. That's all that matters.
And
to
when
him.
We get back, we'll talk about Bill Burr's reaction to that and Obama and how they're the same person.
All right.
Man, Louis C.K., you're not going to convince me, man. Louis C.K. ain't out there saying that Obama ain't no different than Cheney.
He's funnier, though.
No, he's not.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yo. This is Sunday, April 14th. This is hour 2 of Freedom Fiends Live. On LRN. Yes. And we're helping the world by helping the world's buttholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some dude on Puke in the Gang was talking about, I heard some guy on LRN woke up in the morning and was talking about bidets. So I went and got one, and man, I see the light. Yeah. So, yeah, man. That's how we change the world. We make everybody less cranky.
I'm less cranky because I'm not smoking cigarettes. I'm vaping again. It's been about 6 months. And I got the real deal stuff. Compared to what we were using before, I'm not going to mention that company. Yeah. But stuff I'm using now is like going from dial-up to DSL with the ones we had before and were pimping were dial-up compared to this. I'm using the Ego C-Twist variable voltage battery. It's about 8 inches long, and you pour pure liquid into it, and it's clean, and it's efficient, and it doesn't drip all over, and it's like smoking crack, but it's nicotine. And the device is really cool looking. It kind of looks like an 1890s syringe. Like, it looks like something Sherlock Holmes, played by Robert Downey Jr., would have on his bedstand.
Yeah, and I can't tell if that's just the industry sort of coming into its own now, because the older ones we had were the cartomizers, and they looked like cigarettes, and they were supposed to have sort of a cigarette feel. It's almost skeuomorphism in the physical world.
Yeah, it's like, why do they have to look like a cigarette? This looks fine. If this is what I'd be, I'll tell you this. If I'd spent 20 years smoking this and I saw a cigarette, I'd be like, why are you sticking burned up leaves into your face? This makes more sense, man.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough, man.
Yeah.
Why am I sticking burned up leaves? Unless it's a Cuban cigar, because then it's, I don't know, that's a pleasure unto itself.
No, you just want to be like Rush Limbaugh. He smokes cigars. Now you're getting on radio, you're going to become a cigar.
Limbaugh smokes cigars. I wonder if he smokes Cubans.
Probably not.
He's a hypocrite like
probably
that.
Probably behind closed doors. I mean, he probably would never admit it. He's probably like, I smoke American cigars made from Cuban Cuban seeds, which is the workaround. But I don't want to say anything slanderous, but he's the guy who railed against pot smokers for years, and then it turned out he was addicted to painkillers and he was arrested for going to, like, you know, working different doctors to get more than one doctor would give him. So who knows, man? Maybe he smokes Cuban cigars. Let's ask him. Call in now, Rush Limbaugh.
Yes, Colin, we know you're listening.
We're going to put that guy off the air, man. In 5 years, he's going to be begging to, like, be our board op. I'm telling you, man.
I sure hope so. I don't know if he knows how to op a board, though. He knows how to complain about Obama and be like, oh, Obama, he's effing gay. That's about it.
Yeah, and he complained about Ron, what's the guy's name? Ron Paul? Yeah.
Ron Paul.
That guy? Yeah, he complained about Ron Paul a lot, too. And he was back in Romney, man. I mean, which is really weird, because I remember, here's an embarrassing bit of my path to liberty. What was the election for Obama's first term? 2008, was it?
Yep, 2008, okay. Obama v. McCain.
So at the beginning of that year, or the end of 2007, I forget, we watched the Libertarian Party and the Republican Party conventions on TV. It was like right when I was starting to study liberty, and we'd just gotten guns, and we really liked the Libertarian Party one. Did Ron Paul run? No, he was. What did he do in that election? Nothing.
Same thing he did in 2012. He ran for the Republican nomination, it was apparent he wouldn't get it, he just ducked out. People still wrote in his name. I mean, that was the thing: is write in Ron Paul. But of course, to no avail.
Well, we heard Rush Limbaugh do the keynote speech at CPAC that year on TV. And we were stirred by it. And I think I would still be stirred by it. He talked a talk, man. I mean, it was about freedom and liberty and limited government, you know, and I wouldn't be stirred by that now. But he really gave a stirring, commanding, mellow, but, you know, like confident, but not cocky. He was a really good speaker. And we were touched by it. We were like, man, this is so not like these Democrats that are running. And then we heard the Libertarian Party one, and it was like people screaming at each other because Bob Barr was the nominee, and Mary Ruart, who I think is from New Hampshire. I think I've actually chatted with her when I was doing that. George, who's the guy that lives in
Donnelly?
I was doing George Donnelly's video thing, she was on the chat room I was doing my thing on for a minute, and I think she left because she's like, wait, I was on here a minute ago and someone good was on. What's going on now? I don't know. She left, but I've had a couple words, you know, not words with her, but we chatted a bit back and forth for a second. But she was on the C-SPAN, you know, screeching about that they'd put a non-libertarian, Bob Barr, in. And I actually ended up voting for Bob Barr, which is kind of embarrassing. But, you know, it's better than the fact that I voted for Nancy Pelosi 30 years ago or 20 years ago.
At least you've repented.
I have. But, yeah, Rush Limbaugh, he talks a good talk, man. He says one thing, but I think he does another thing. He really does, you know. I mean, he's for limited government, but he wants to throw pot smokers in jail. How is that limiting government? Even throwing throw the morality out of the window for a minute. Just the, you know, cost benefit analysis. How is that limiting government? It's not. It's putting a cop on every corner. And I mean, I think Ron Paul this sounded like Martian speak to most people, but it, you know, of course, the first question Fox News asked him to in the debates was, so do you think heroin should be legal? And his answer was basically, I think it's a medical problem, not a legal problem. And I think that if Christians want to be left alone to practice their religion, they shouldn't go after people for drugs. He's basically saying, if you're a Christian, do the Christian thing and support legalizing heroin, which made total sense to me. And it makes total sense from a cost benefit analysis.
There was also a great moment there where he said, how many of you would go and shoot up heroin right now if it were legalized? Raise your hand. And everybody just sort of laughed because it hit them.
You know,
we don't need the government to make these decisions for us.
I might have been the one guy raising my hand if I'd been there. I likes me some heroin, but I can't man, because it's if I did it once, even if it were legal, I'd end up, you know, impotent and constipated and not very functional. So
yeah. Well, the other thing about it too is you can't claim to be for free markets either if you're for any type of government monopoly restrictions on what you can or can't sell. How is that free market to ban a whole class of goods?
Yeah, all these Republicans Republicans that talk about doing that, they are socialist. And those are the same people that yell that Obama is socialist, but they are some degree of socialist by wanting to control things with the market. You know, there's really two reasons that things are taxed. One is to steal money for the government. But more often than that, it's not just for that. It's also to control what people do. Like, that's the reason cigarettes are $10 a pack in New York City, because Bloomberg doesn't want people smoking because he's a smoke Nazi. And like the guy in Wyoming, who is he? The senator, doctor, somebody?
Kill case?
No, the doctor, senator, state, federal senator, not state senator.
Oh, John Barrasso.
Yeah. He wants to tax internet sales federally to drive people into, you know, brick and mortar stores.
No, that was Enzi, I think. Okay. I think that was Enzi.
But Enzi's on Fox News every fifth morning talking about small government and what's wrong with Obama.
Ah.
And that literally, I mean, it's the only time I ever hear the word Wyoming on TV is when he's on there and I'm, you know, eating my breakfast and need some TV images and words in a row to scream at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how great of an example is that of the fact that the idea of Congress is broken? I mean, why should somebody from Wyoming, and yeah, you live in Wyoming, so maybe it should affect you. Well, I don't think it should because I don't believe in government. But even if you're put your minarchist hat on, why should somebody from a state with 500,000 people have sway over your life if you live somewhere else? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people who want to do things like that are often the same people who say, like, the UN should have no control over American sovereignty. But, you know, so why should someone in D.C. have control over the taxes I pay in Wyoming? Even if
or somebody in Cheyenne or somebody in City Hall in Casper, even.
Yeah. So more about Bill Burr eventually when we get back. I want to talk about Bill Burr.
Okay.
You keep talking about these politics and stuff.
You did.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. Hey, we have a missed opportunity with Jankum Hornburger. it should have been Jankum Hamburger.
Why?
Because it's such a funnier image. But the imagine a hamburger made out of Jankum?
There's a problem with that is that there is a Liberty guy named Keith Hamburger, and it's his real name. Yeah.
Still.
Jankum, I don't know, man. Really? I'm so mellow from all this vaping that I can't even think about pod beefs, man, or jokes on people's names.
No, it's not a pod beef.
Man. Yeah, it is. Yeah. You just want him to notice you.
It's just an image of a hamburger made out of Jankum.
You just want him to notice you. That's a horrible image. Oh. Don't even put that in my head, man.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Michael Sensitive.
So I'm vaping. So DJ and I went to the Wyoming Vapor Company down on Beverly, which is... What, DJ?
Vape.
Vape?
Yeah.
Wyoming Vape Company. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So it's kind of... First of all, there is a vaping community. I didn't know that, but I have a friend, Nikki Darling, who is a member of the vaping community, and she tells me about the vaping community, and she said that she heard... She said, I heard there's a vape store in Casper now. The only reason I know about it is because I read on the vaping community boards that it was robbed. Which is really sad that it was robbed.
It is.
And there's a $5,000 reward for information leading to the conviction of the person. It says so in the store. The store is kind of like literally on the wrong side of the tracks. It's kind of in a little ghettoish neighborhood. I call it the Spice District because it's literally, it's across the street from that gas station where you and I went one night open carrying. And there was some dude coming up to us who was like high on spice and like, are you guys cops? And we're like, no, man, we're not cops. And we talked to, and they were selling spice and at the count behind the counter in that gas station. And we were chatting. It was right before the election. We were chatting with the lady like, who are you going to vote for? And she said, like many Americans, I'm a non-voting felon. And we thought that was we thought that was really funny. So it's basically a block up the hill and across the street from that. It's the Spice District.
The Spice District.
But it was a really nice experience. I'd never been to a vape store. It kind of reminded me of Karmaceuticals, the medical marijuana place in some way, but a little more other side of the tracks, probably because there's not as much money involved, you know, as there is with marijuana. Right. So, they don't have enough for, you know, nice paint or burglar alarms or cameras, I guess, but they do have all that now. But it was really nice, and there was a line, man. It was hopping on Saturday. Like, it took us 15 minutes to get through the line, and everyone was really polite. Everyone was really, except for one older guy, everyone was way younger than us. It was a kind of like hipster Wyoming crowd, and I didn't know that vaping was such a hip thing with the kids, but apparently it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can see why, though.
I've seen them around a lot more, and I've seen a lot more of the ones that you have now that you got from Casper Vape as opposed to the old Cardamizer model.
Yeah, they didn't even acknowledge when I said, I want some blank Cardamizers. They're like, they showed me what they had, and they didn't have a lot. They're mainly more about the liquid than the hardware there. They have a real basic selection of hardware, and then they have great liquid. They have a house blend. I asked for... like the least flavored thing they had. And they said, oh, you want 307, which tastes like antelope and antelope and sagebrush. Not really. Nice. It tastes, barely has a taste, but it's slightly sweet. So it doesn't, you know, taste like nicotine. 307 is the area code of Wyoming, in case people don't know.
I want one that tastes like whatever that blend of sage and herbs is that the Native Americans in Wyoming use at like funerals and to bless new teepees. That stuff smelled awesome, and I don't know what
sage.
It was. It was something else, though, too. It was like sage cut with something. It was really good.
Reefer sticks?
Reefers.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. We just had a really good time at this place, and they were really helpful, you know, and I had a bunch of questions. I rattled them out really quick, and I knew the terminology, so I knew what to ask. Like, okay, what tank do I want? What battery? How many volts is that battery? How many milliamp hours? But, you know, I mean, there were people behind us, and I could just imagine they were rolling their eyes going, ugh, newbies, this is going to take a while.
Noobs.
But we were out pretty quick. It was nice. It was just a really pleasant experience. It was kind of a lib pair feeling experience. You know, it's this really nondescript building. You know, that's kind of how it is with things people really, really, really want. You don't have to put that much into the physical location. They don't care what it looks like. Right. They just want the stuff. And for for people waiting in line for something that's highly addictive, everyone was really polite and helpful. Like, you know, I asked a question and a guy behind us answered it before the lady behind the counter, maybe because he wanted to get his drugs. But
nicotine, was everybody vaping in there?
Nicotine's a hell of a drug. No one was vaping. Was anyone vaping in there, DJ? Yes, even the people behind the counter. She said yes, even the people behind the counter.
Ah, okay, good.
I didn't notice it for some reason. I would have said no. But I don't think, not that I thought there was a law, a rule against it. I think it was like they were all out and that's why they were there. And I actually heard someone in line behind us talking about, like, you know, well, if you lend me some money till Tuesday, I could gladly pay you Tuesday for some vaping today. And it made me really sad because we don't have that issue and that's nothing against them. They're, you know, basically I want everyone who's a good person to be rich. And I think without the government, everybody would. I really do. Everyone would have eight times as much money.
Not even rich, but just more than what they have now. Think about how fewer you'd be getting robbed all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
I also think there'd be way less bums, right?
You wouldn't have to think about, like, oh, do I pay my car insurance or get my vape? You know, you would just get your vape and pay your insurance to your private company, and it'd be cheaper and better, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was speaking with a friend of mine last night, and he was talking about, yeah, well, you know, I don't think we should go back and get rid of technology and get rid of washing machines and have women in the kitchen all day. But think about all the jobs that get lost when we have something new coming out. And I'm like, well, man, think about all the barriers to those workers who lose their job because of innovation. You know, in LibPair, it'd be really easy for them to get re-educated and to find other work to do. There wouldn't be a minimum wage, so they could even work something smaller for a short while until they figured it out. I mean, now because of government school subsidies, you know, you have to go into major debt to get any kind of job retraining. I mean, that's one big barrier. And you can't go out and start your own business, and you can't work for less than the minimum wage. I mean, you can go out and start your own business. It's just, there's so much you have to do. There's so many loopholes, the opposite of loopholes, the flaming rings of fire you have to jump through.
Whereas there is government training that's free or cheap for jobs the government wants you to do, which is kind of, again, thing of like taxing.
The poverty draft.
You know, they tax the things they don't like. They subsidize the things they do like, and they subsidize the training for the things they do like, and try to put the training for things they don't like out of business. Like, you know, try starting a school in Wyoming that teaches how to grow marijuana. Even if you don't actually have any marijuana grown in it, if it's just theory and handouts, they'd shut you down in a heartbeat, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that I'm hoping that no Wyoming politician tries to do anything to vaping, and I'm afraid they will, because it's really doing well here. And it's really healthy. It's less unhealthy than cigarettes. I won't say it's healthy. I think it's healthy for me because it really relaxes me and stimulates me at the same time and makes me a better person. But we're going to talk about how the new DSM says that drinking coffee means you have mental problems and need to be institutionalized when we get back.
Sounds like it'd be fun. All right. Stay with us, fiends and non-fiends alike.
Worms. No, the non-fiends can go away. The central scrutinizer should leave.
You're dismissed.
I wish. Wish it was that easy. Wish it were that easy.
It's not.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the road to freedom. film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Nima.
That's me. I'm Nima.
Nima.
How's it going?
Nima Vadavi.
Yeah, what's up?
Nima Vadavi. Yeah.
Michael W. Dean.
Yeah. I just sent you...
What is it?
Yeah. I just sent sound prints of The Fiend. The Comrex interface.
I'm looking at
them now. In case people want to know what the Comrex interface looks like. It's pretty groovy, man. Yeah. So it is Wyoming Vapor. Meters. It's Wyoming Vapor Company, not Vape. I'm looking at their business card. They are at 507 North Beverly. And this is an unpaid testimonial to their virtue and strength. Go there if you're in Casper.
All right, fair enough. I thought you didn't have any listeners in Casper, and you were proud of it.
I hope not.
You hope not.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I do have K2 Radio on my list of people to call, but they're a 50,000-watt station. I doubt any... It's probably hard to get the 50,000-watt ones on the phone, really. They're busy. Busy people, but I'll try them eventually.
Maybe I should call them. I mean, I know Brian
Scott. Oh, yeah. BS in the morning?
Yeah. I never listened to him, but...
Oh, so you know what? I will...
Tizzle used to go to breakfast with him, and I met him once.
Oh, okay. Well, I will put that on your list instead of mine. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I want to talk... Speaking of radio, I want to talk about the Franken mic I'm using.
All right. Go for it.
I'm doing a blog post. It should be out later today or tomorrow about how to make a Franken Beta, which is basically a Shure SM Beta... a Shure Beta 57A mic with the grill from a Shure SM58. Now, why would one do this, you ask? Because you get a wider, the pickup pattern of a mic, which is basically how far off axis you can be. You know, I'm pretty much over here on the side right now, and it's pretty much the same, almost the same volume as right here. With the normal Beta, the Beta has a great sound. It's got a better sound than the SM58, which is what you're using. But the Beta has a really tight pattern. It's a hypercardioid pattern, which is made for stage singing, for rock and roll, because you don't want it to pick up anywhere but right in front of it, or you'll get feedback. But
I also thought it was more intended for instrument miking too, like miking a kick drum or something like that.
The Beta?
Yeah.
No.
With the flat mic.
Well, that's true with the SM57, which is basically a SM58 with a flat screen, which is more for miking instruments, but they could also be used for vocals. But the Beta SM58 was literally made for singing. Its intended purpose is rock and roll singers. It's 4 decibels louder than the SM58. It's got a slight rise in the high end, and it's got a tight cardioid pattern, hypercardioid pattern. But I don't like the cardioid pattern for talk radio, because it means I have to just keep my head and my shoulders locked right here, and they end up getting stiff. So I want to be able to be a little bit off axis. Like right now I'm at like a 45 degree angle to the mic, and it's still almost the same volume. Whereas with the old grill on it, it'd be about half the volume. So I like to be able to do, it gives me more freedom. I can kind of slowly spin in my chair and talk and stare out the windows at the clouds and the squirrels and the birds. Now,
That's news to me. I didn't know that the grill had that big of an effect on the pattern, but you said the grill is what
it's
decides
like
the pattern.
90% of it. It's also determined by the capsule and the electronics. The electronics in all these mics is really simple. It's like a transformer and a switch. You know, that's about it. Maybe a capacitor. But yeah, man, I like my Franken mic, and it's really easy to make. And you don't actually have to buy both mics like I did to be able to switch them. You can buy,
A replacement
grill. Replacement grill for like $8, an SM58 grill, and put it on a Beta. And it's much better for talk radio. What most people use for talk radio is an Electrovoice RE20. And an RE20 costs about $500. Plus, it needs a special mic, because it's so big around. It's like 2.5 inches in diameter. Yeah. You need a special, not just pop filter. Yeah, the pop filters for it are like $30. And whereas they're like 30 cents for the ones I'm using. And the it's sort of like a cage that holds it on your scissor arm. And that's like $60. So, you know, you're looking at almost $600 retail for that mic. The reason that one's used in so many radio stations is because part of it is like Emperor's New Clothes. Like, well, everyone else in every radio station uses it, so every radio station like us should use it. And part of it is, well, they've done it that way since the 60s. How could you do any better? But part
I thought the original justification, though, was its big pickup pattern. So you don't have to have good mic technique.
Right, right. And radio stations often have different interviewees come in and sit for one show who've never been on radio before, so they don't have any mic technique. You know, mic technique is knowing to back off a little bit when you get loud and, you know, to talk up close.
Like,
and quiet.
Like when I laugh hysterically at your funny jokes, ah, I go back there, you know, and then I come back. Yeah. Like, I just lean back.
Yeah, you act as your own compressor. But now that we both have tube compressors and preamps, and it's a little better, it kind of makes up for, you know, gives you a creamier audio sound regardless of your mic technique. But also, the RE20, yeah, it has a wider pattern, so it picks up people who don't know that you should be right pretty much in front of the mic. So that's why people spend $500 on these mics. But literally, with the $140 Shure Beta 57A, won't make you talk any better. Just make you
right.
But
with the average Joe and microphones that they don't put it close to their mouth? I don't get that. When I was a reporter, people would hold it like they just thought the fact that their hand was on the mic means that we'll automatically hear what they're saying. Like, they don't make that connection that, yes, you must talk into the mic. They would like hold it down like at their belly. And I was doing a wedding last night out in the country, and this guy wanted to do a toast, and he had his drink in one hand and it was like at his waist, and he held the mic right next to the drink. All you could hear was like his rocks glass jingling. And I'm like, dude,
Are you giving people, drunk people, your $17 mic or your good SM58 to speak into?
No, it's actually how do you pronounce it? Sennheiser. It's not my mic. It's the company I work for.
Good.
Or contract with. It's their mic. It's a wireless, but it's actually got a good sound. It sounds so much better. Here's a little bit of news you can use to know how important cabling is. I used that adapter you gave me that turns an XLR into a TRS or a balanced quarter inch. And that sounds infinitely better than a cable I have that's XLR to unbalanced. Like, it's louder, it's clearer, and it sounds beautiful. Like, it's amazing hearing my voice come out of a PA and having it sound so clear and clean.
Yeah. Sounds commanding and wonderful.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said, how many average Joes ever even use a mic? And I said, only in court.
Yeah, what are those Stato mics that you see at like city council?
SM57. Oh, you mean the little ones that are like a ball on the end of a long metal,
of like a thin
pencil thin
gooseneck.
Yeah,
like a pencil thin gooseneck.
Those are Sennheisers. Are those? I forget the model name, but they're Sennheiser Stato 468, I think.
Stato mic. Yeah.
Yeah, but the SM57 is used for the Pope. The Pope uses an SM58. And the President of the United States uses an SM57 and has since like the 60s. So
I thought the President uses the SM58 too.
No, he uses the 57. He actually uses two of them. They have two in case one fails. And they actually have, this is really statist, Shure sells a setup called the Presidential Mic Setup, which is two SM57s and a mic mount for both of them. It's really square, man. And it's way more expensive than like two of those mics and regular stands would be, because it looks just like what the President has. Mm-hmm. So square.
Yeah,
I
hate it when things are named after presidential suite and all that. That's just annoying, man. And I hate it when rappers like say, "Oh yeah, I'm up in the presidential suite." It's like, don't call it that, man. Don't brag about that.
Yeah,
we in Mexico. See, we were in this little
so
shop,
sleepy.
And it's so sleepy. Funny how everybody like pitches to you, like even if you don't want their crap. Like,
yeah,
this guy. We ended up going into his little shop for trinkets. And all they had, like all along the wall, were these little marble statues. There were these masks and then these little like Mayan statues. And he goes, "That mask is very good. It's of a Mayan king." And I'm like, "Man, I'm an anarchist. I don't like kings." He just sort of laughs and I'm like, "I gotta go. Peace."
Did he know what anarchist meant?
I don't know. He just sort of smiled and nodded. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
We'll have more about...
How do you say anarchist in Spanish?
We anarquisto. We'll have more about...
Anarquisto.
Bob, about Bill Burr when we get back.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Live radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Burr, man. So Bill Burr was talking about the Patriot Act and Obama, and he was saying, man, what a sociopath's wet dream, being able to put a mute button on anybody that disagrees with you.
Ah, I think he was talking about the NDAA.
Yeah, which is an Obama thing. So, yeah, man, he doesn't love the government. And he actually went on Conan and said, you know, Conan's like, so who are you going to vote for? I think he told him, you know, as a setup, ask me who I'm going to vote for. They always do that. And he said, I ain't voting for any of those guys, man. The Democrats and the Republicans are exactly the same. They're both big businesses behind both of them. Anybody who thinks, oh, my guy's better than your guy is a friggin' idiot. And Conan was just like dumbfounded. Conan was like, what? And he said, Bill Burr is still a voter, but for a voter, I really like him. He's like, yeah, man, I always vote for the guy who's crazy, who everyone says is nuts. Like Ron Paul, I voted for. And who's the other guy that got when Bush ran? Ralph Nader. And I think he voted for Ross Perot. He's like, I always vote for the guys who everyone thinks are nuts, because you know there's no corporate money behind the guys everyone thinks are nuts. And that's kind of a good point. And he says, but you know, I think the whole system is broken to the point where anybody who's not in bed with all the sociopaths running everything behind the scenes is never going to get any position higher than, I don't know, the guy who decides what kind of statue they put in the town square. which I actually think the corruption's even there, man, because, you know, they're going to give contract for the statue to their brother-in-law's sister's dentist's friend or something.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, man, I listened to part of that. I guess it was from a podcast he does, the clip where he was talking about the NDAA and basically saying humans do not do well with that kind of power.
Yeah, it's going to turn into China, you know, he said,
look
basically.
Look at any history book. Yeah, and he's like, do you want to live in communist China? Did you want to live in the Soviet Union? No, you want to live in America, because they can't do that here, or they couldn't.
Yeah.
So why do you want to let them do that? And it was some good stuff. Yeah, I mean, it could have been as easily on a comedy podcast as it could have been on a Liberty podcast. And it went a little more into it than a lot of the who's that guy that's always gets credit for being the libertarian comedian?
Joe Rogan.
Doug Stanhope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess Joe Rogan, too. But Doug Stanhope. But, yeah, I mean,
Doug
so
Stanhope
much of the
is
Doug Stanhope you hear, it's –
well, Doug Stanhope is kind of further to anarchist than Bill Burr, but it's really general bullet points. Whereas Bill Burr admits he's not very educated politically, but the things he does say and know, he knows and understands better, like deeper than Doug Stanhope.
Well, I mean, it's a good point that you just said. You know, he admits he's not educated on this stuff. But, I mean, that there's something important there, right? I mean, human nature, I think, or natural law, or whatever you want to call it, I think it's in us that that big government, or the government in general, you know, aggression is wrong. And it takes so much propaganda to beat that out of us. And some people, maybe because they're not educated, don't get it beat out of them. And maybe that's what happened to Bill Burr.
Yeah, I saw something recently that made a lot of sense. It was some bow tie libertarian saying basically, so politicians think people aren't smart enough to make decisions for themselves on gun ownership, healthcare, education, etc. But those politicians are put into place by the same people that they're saying aren't smart enough to make those decisions. I've never really thought of it in those terms. Those are like kindergarten terms, and it's so deep and true, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I never thought of it that way either.
Yeah.
How hypocritical or counterintuitive that is, that you're not smart enough to make these decisions. So how could you be smart enough to elect somebody to make those decisions for you?
Yeah.
And it's almost a misuse of the thought of anarchic order, right? Like, or the market. It's like, well, you know, the market will decide who's the politician because they'll get as much votes. But it's a very twisted version. It's denaturing that natural phenomenon and twisting it into an excuse for aggression.
And Bill Burr is also occasionally an actor, and he's in two things we really love. He was in the Chappelle Show and a bunch of skits. And he's in Breaking Bad. He plays one of Saul Goodman's henchmen, and he plays the EPA fake EPA agent that aggresses on the car wash owner to get him to. You turned me on to who he was. I was like, yeah, I think it's Louis C.K. It's some redhead comic guy I've seen before.
Some like, redhead guy with an East Coast accent. Yeah.
And you said, no, I think that's Bill Burr. And you know, you and I both share a love of comedy. I didn't really realize that until recently. I mean, we've talked about. We like the Chappelle Show and stuff, but we like comedians. And you and your wife actually went to hear a stand-up comedian, which I haven't done in like 20 years, but I've done it. Who did you go hear?
We've done it a few times. We've seen Dimitri Martin, I think, was the first one we saw.
He's so nerdy.
Oh, actually, no, I saw that with my college roommate. He's funny, though. He's really funny. We actually were at his taping of his special. He taped his special in Austin. We were there. It was really funny. And then me and the wife saw Dave Barry, who's I guess you wouldn't call him a comedian. What's
observational humor?
He's a humorist.
Yes,
a humorist is, I think, the appropriate term.
A hubrist.
A humorist. No, yes. But hubrist. But his speeches are. We've seen him twice. I guess my wife's seen him like three or four times. And it's kind of stand up what he does ish. He tells jokes and funny stories and anecdotes. And on the cruise ship, we actually saw a guy who's, I guess when you're a washed-up comedian, you do comedy on cruise ships.
Because people can't leave. Right, it's though. Even better than Vegas. In Vegas, people go to the club no matter what's playing because, oh, let's go have dinner and see some comedian, which is how DJ ended up seeing Dennis Miller. And he was doing all this really deep kind of big word intellectual humor. And she was the only person laughing out of like 800 people. And he stopped and he pointed at her and said, somebody here went to college and then went back to his act. but nice. I guess, you know, when you go even lower down the scale, you end up on cruise ships because they're literally captive and they have to jump into shark-infested waters to get away from your comedy stylings.
There you go.
Yeah.
He didn't really have any, like, material. He just sort of worked the crowd. There were some funny moments. And
it's kind of what we do, isn't
that
it?
Thing that,
that's what we do.
Yeah, kind of.
We're funny, man. We're funny.
Thing, though. Oh, yeah.
I think when we talk radio stations, we should tell them we're funny.
We got to make Liberty fun.
We should say, hey, man, we're funny. We're really funny.
Dude, we're so funny.
You should put us on your radio.
You should laugh right
now. We're really funny, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did that thing, though, where you, who's a doctor in the house? Who's a nurse? And then tells a joke about doctors or nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And he totally ripped on cops, but he prefaced and ended it with, oh, no, but I've got a lot of respect for cops. I got a lot of respect for you guys.
They always do that.
I hate that, man.
I'm so sick.
Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to do that with all due respect caveat when those people deserve no respect?
The good comedians die, man. I saw this show today called, like, The Dark Side of Comedy. It was a, you know, kind of VH1-y style-y thing about comedians who've died, like Chris Farley and, I don't know, a whole bunch of people. Who's the guy from Texas? Yeah, George Carlin. Who's the guy from Texas? Well, George Carlin.
Bill Hicks.
Yeah, George Carlin wasn't in it because he died kind of old age. I mean,
of, you know, natural causes,
yeah,
when he was old.
But, you know, this was all about the people who died, you know, with a butt plug in with a tranny hooker and doing crocodile off of John Belushi's urn, you know. You know, John Belushi. There was John Belushi. There was John Candy. There was Bill Hicks. There was not Mitch Hedberg, which really disappointed me because he's my favorite of the dead comedians. But, you know, something I heard on CSI.
Really? Mitch Hedberg over Bill Hicks, huh? Really?
I got to hear more Bill Hicks. I've only heard about 10 minutes of him, and I like him a lot. And he leaned libertarian, and he's Texan. But, you know, there's something I heard on...
Well, people say he leaned libertarian, but he was leftish. I mean, he leaned libertarian in the fact that he thought everybody in the government was retarded. But I think he's on mic saying,
he wanted to replace them
to the left. I want to...
He wanted to replace them with smart people. Well, Cody Wilson is on record on Glenn Beck saying he leans left. He's saying he's a left anarchist. And I don't even know what that is. And I still want to... I want to send you over to his house to have an intervention, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not, you know, there's this thing I heard on CSI, the character Grisham, you know, the kind of cool older scientist guy who they kicked off the show or whatever because he was too cool, or he retired because they didn't, I don't know, he was the only cool guy on that show. And he wasn't a cop-like guy. He was a total scientist and just believed in science and loved science. And he said something one time. There's a show where there's a bunch of well-known comedians playing unknown comedians in a comedy club, and a guy dies on stage and people think it's part of the act and he literally dies. He said that, and I will end with this, that all comedy is an attempt to stave off fear of death. And when you kind of examine comedy, there seems to be some truth to that to me. So we'll be back tomorrow for a non-live show that is our 200th episode of the Freedom Fiends. Woo! Welcome back, Nima. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Thank you. Thank you, fiends. I missed y'all. I love y'all.
Worms. Peace.